Welcome to Spooky Scary Stories, Part 3. And I'm Rylan. Today we got...
Diego.
And...
Oscar Vidoni.
He's looking at his phone. Okay. So you guys got any spooky, scary stories you want to talk about?
Yeah. I actually have a lot. There's a lot of stories that's been told to us generations to generation, down and down from the Warm Springs Reservation. I think I was around like 6, 7 years old. I was over at my grandpa's. Yeah. We're laying there in the living room, me and my cousin, on the couches watching TV. And I saw something like kind of floating by. But I didn't know, like, I didn't really realize it until it was midway through the hall and it looked like it was just someone floating and I couldn't move. Like, I tried to move, I tried to talk and I couldn't. It's like I froze up and it went through the wall and I was able to move again. I was trying to tell my cousin. He's like, "What? What'd you see?" He didn't see it. So I didn't know if I was like either just seeing things, but I definitely could not move when I saw it.
Did you think it was like sleep paralysis? Have you heard of sleep paralysis before?
Yeah, but like, I was wide awake, and it was
Let's
like...
Let's say sometimes you can open your eyes during sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
A little.
Yeah, but I was wide awake. I just could not move at all. I didn't know if I was asleep or not, but there was definitely just something floating by us. And, like, my cousin didn't see it, but he was asleep. So yeah. I didn't know what was going on. The TV was still playing, and I was just tripping. I was scared. I didn't know what was going on. I think, like, a year after, I was over at my grandma's. And, like... I was telling you guys about this Wednesday after we did that broadcast, but I was walking and then there was this, the trailer right there. And like, it takes a lot to open that trailer door. Even like a strong wind wouldn't be able to do it or even close it. And like, I was walking around, about to walk down. And that's when it started opening and then closing. And I wanted to go check it out and why I was doing that. And then when I got close to the door, it like, closed, open it, footsteps in it, and like I couldn't find anybody in there. I heard footsteps.
Yeah.
No idea, right? I came back out and the door shut right back up and then I just ran back up the hill.
Yeah, I'd definitely get out of there.
And then I look around and I look back at it and next thing you know the door opens. Like, let's say if you're in a rush and you just fling open the door. That's what happened, but nobody was coming out. Only thing I saw was like just a little bit, like if someone was transparent, see-through, this cowboy person.
Oh, yeah. You were telling us about that.
Yeah. It was like a cowboy person that came out and just faded away.
Yeah. Dude, I have so many stories about like sleep paralysis type. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's like you're not sure if it was real or not. Basically, me and my little like cousins and siblings... We always had this thing, like, you know, creepypastas, like, online horror stories.
Yeah.
We always thought that Jeff the Killer, the creepypasta, was living in our attic upstairs in my grandma's house. We would never go upstairs, even though that's where all the Legos and stuff were. We would never go upstairs, right?
Yeah.
And I remember, I think it was my cousin Hayden and my little brother Brody. We were all at my grandma's house. And we were sleeping in, like, the downstairs room, right? And for this room, basically all you gotta know is that it's, like, right next to the front door, right? It's on the right side. Like, you go through the front door, and then there's that bedroom, right? And then there's right across, if you're looking straight out that door, there's a staircase, right? And then around the staircase, there's, like, almost, like, a circle that goes around the staircase of, like, a hallway type thing, right, that circles around it. Right, to the different rooms in the house, like the living room, the kitchen, the door to like garage, the second living room, right? And I remember we were all sleeping, right? And my door was closed. And I heard something thud and it woke me up and I wasn't able to move, right? And I heard something run all the way down the stairs at like light speed, right? Right? And then it banged on my door. And then it ran in a circle around that little, like, circle space that was just explained, right? And then it banged on my door again, and then it banged on the front door, and it kept running and running in circles until it stopped at my door, and it was just standing there for a while and never came in. But it was just standing there. I saw, like, the, like, where the feet were, you know what I mean? Like, below the door. And it was like, oh, my God. But yeah, I've had a lot of, like, sleep paralysis stories like that. Yeah. You got any...
I do indeed. So my mom's side of the family is from Kentucky, and they're from this old, like, dying mining town, I guess.
Oh, damn.
So, like, during the early 20th century, I guess, it was, like, super popular, and then eventually the copper there dried up. So there was this whole abandoned, like, side of town. And my great-grandmother used to collect these, like, dolls. And she went there, and she collected all these ceramic dolls out of the abandoned buildings.
Yeah.
And then she died right before I was born. But her room was left perfectly preserved with these just hundreds of dolls sitting on, like, every surface. And now these are all old and, like, ceramic, like, toxic paint. And they're all crumbling and, like, basically falling apart in this room. And one night I'm staying over at my grandmother's house. And, of course, you know, my whole family's out there. And I get stuck with the doll room.
Uh-oh.
I'm not having this. And I try to fall asleep, and it feels like something is watching me, you know?
It was the dolls. It was the dolls.
Yeah, for sure.
And in the morning when I woke up, they'd all just moved. And I thought that was just off. And then the next night, I feel like something had grabbed my arm, and after that, I was sleeping on the couch. I was just not.
Just done?
Just done.
You're done?
Yeah. I get that feeling.
Have you heard of urban exploration?
Yeah.
Like, it's like a subculture almost of people that like to go into abandoned buildings with flashlights and look around these places
Have you seen those guys from Russia that'll just hike out to those abandoned towns?
Yeah, exactly.
Just do that.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. I feel like you could see something out there.
Yeah, exactly. Me and my friends, we always love going to these urban spots, right? I've went all the way down to, like, Oregon City, and I've went down to, like, the coast and a bunch of different places. But there's this place downtown, right, in downtown Eugene, and it's this, it's a decent size, you know what I mean? I'd say it's pretty medium size for, like, urban spots.
Yeah.
Of this factory, right?
Okay.
And basically, me and my friends, and we all go to this factory, right, and we sneak through this little, like, panel that was, like, a little off, you know what I mean? So then we snuck through this little crack that was in the like, that allowed us into the building, and we looked around for a while, you know what I mean? We went over this, like, long bridge that went all the way down the middle of it, of this giant factory with these big machines, you know what I mean? And then we get into these smaller rooms that are on the side, right?
Yeah.
And it's like these, like, it looks like office building, you know what I mean, type thing, where it's like office space, and then there's like
so cubicles, like, set up.
Like,
there's the working side, and there's like the ones that get the paper done and stuff.
There was this staircase, it was pitch black, right? So we ended up having to put on, like, headlights on, you know what I mean? Like the
headlamps,
The headlamps on to be able to see, right? And we get down to the space, and we keep going down and down. We're about four stories down underground. Pitch black. No one's been here for, like, years, right? It's cobwebs everywhere. We probably saw a few, like, dead animals, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We get down, and then we get to the farthest corner room, where it's, like, the farthest from, like, civilization. You know what I mean? This is the farthest anyone has, like, the farthest that you can go.
Yeah.
And we get to this one room, and it's completely empty. All the other rooms are covered in glass, paper, gross stuff. We all were hoping we wouldn't step on nails or anything, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But this one room, the ground was, like, it had nothing on it. And on the walls and on the floor and on the ceiling, there were red pentagrams with red paint. And then there was writing on the walls, and it said, kill white people. Kill all the white people. Kill all the white people, over and over and over. And we were really freaked out.
Yeah.
And the whole time, we were taking pictures and recording a little bit of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I could show you the pictures afterwards, but we end up leaving because we're like, oh, this is effed up. We got to leave, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We didn't even take pictures of that room because we were so freaked out. We were like, we're going to get bad luck if we take pictures of this room.
I would feel the same.
Yeah.
And we end up going back into, like, the area where it was all lit up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the open area with all the work stuff, you know what I mean? And
the more accessible, explorable area.
Yeah, the more open area, you know what I mean? And we take a few, like, pictures of, like, the group, you know what I mean? And then we leave. And then later, we look back at our cameras and our, like, the photos that we took, and we, like, uploaded them to the computer. And we saw that there was about, we didn't even catch this, there was a few people hiding in the corners of the rooms as we went down. It wasn't just, like, one, we thought it was one crackhead. I actually looked back at it recently because I was talking to you about it and, like, looking to see if there was any other, like, crackheads, quotation marks, you know what I mean? But there was one person that was like in the corner of like the big open area at the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah. And then in the factory or in like the office where it was the cubicles, there was somebody like peeking their head over, and you could see their hand and their like head peeking over. We didn't even see him. We didn't go back like back all the way in that room, but we saw that figure. And then there was another one right before that, like in the hallway. And yeah. we were able to see like the foot and the hand.
Okay.
And it was like that. There was people there in the close to the pentagram room waiting for us to leave.
So I thinking that that might have been like some kind of cult. Like, yeah. Instead of,
cults are really actually like very common.
Yeah. It's just
especially
not
in Oregon.
Lot.
We've had some pretty major ones, right? We had that one up in like northern Oregon. It was that town that got incorporated, and it was a full cult up there.
Yeah.
They were doing all these psychedelic drugs and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And their leader thought he was God, obviously. Yeah. You know, typical cult shenanigans. And they'd poison the town's water supply. They were in deep. They had some FBI involvement, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a true story for you guys. I actually have two, and one of them is way not as scary as the other. Let's just say that, right? So I was at my mom's house, and at my mom's house, my bedroom is basically the living room, right? I sleep on the couch, and one night I woke up. We live in an apartment complex.
Yeah.
And I woke up, and I was like, oh, damn, I need a drink of water. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Woke up.
Yeah, the 3 a.m. cravings.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 3 a.m. water cravings. The 3 a.m. water cravings and cold, like, leftover pizza craving.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I walk over to the kitchen, which in with our kitchen, has that's where the front door is right at the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. And okay.
I get there, yeah.
My farmer's at.
Yeah, I got there, right, and I, like, start filling up my water, and I look to the right of me where there's the door and the front window.
Yeah.
And there was someone staring right into the window. It was a crackhead. It was a guy, bald, probably in his, like, 50s, without a shirt on. And he was just, and he was really, really skinny and tall, and he was just looking right at me. And that wasn't, like, some, like, ghost type stuff. That was, like, that was real.
Like, someone just, like, kind of freaking out.
They were just looking in there. They weren't, like, using their hands to look into the window. They were just standing there.
Just standing there, staring.
Straight. And it's just
crackhead,
like,
Santa Claus watching over you.
Crackheads, like, homeless Santa Claus, like, looking into my... That's terrifying.
Speaking of that, I have one kind of like that, but I don't know if he was a crackhead or not, or if he was just really high at the time.
Yeah.
So we're...
It's a very thin line in Oregon.
So on the reservation again, I went to my cousin's auntie's, and it's like a hill that goes down. It's about almost like, I want to say a quarter mile, half a mile, right, to go down to go to the road right there. And there's a street light right there, and there's this guy was just right there standing there, and he was just walking in circles and circles and just constantly walking in circles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then this guy stops, and then my cousin was looking at, and I swear that he knew we were looking. He stopped and looked right at us. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of sprinted up halfway through the hill. He sprinted up against us, and we just like closed the blinds and then ran back in the living room, and like, what do we have to tell someone, or what do we do? And we went out to go look just to be sure that we knew he was running at us, so we don't just like, and he stopped, and we saw him, he was stopping, and he turned around and went back to the pole and started going back in circles.
Yeah,
and it was the most creepiest thing ever. And then 2 days after that, my cousin said the day after that happened, there was this guy that opened their window and tried climbing in, but the dog was barking, and it woke up his grandpa, and his grandpa came in and just kicked him out and had the police come, and they got him. But, like, it was the most creepiest thing ever.
Mm.
Yeah, that's legit.
I got another one for you guys. Right. This is one of the most terrifying things that have ever happened in my life. I think I've told Oscar about this one. In the eighth grade, I went on a DC trip, right, where my whole entire class, we went to DC and went, like, across the coastline, right?
Yeah.
We visited, like, the White House, you know what I mean? Like, everything.
I've heard this before.
All the big places, and, yeah, he's heard it. And we got to Boston, right? Boston was, like, in the middle of our trip. So we walked around Boston for a while. We ran into a lot of crackheads, you know what I mean? The usual for Boston, you know what I mean?
America moment.
Yeah, or American moment for you. Right. So it was getting to about lunchtime, and we arrived at this giant building that was like a food, it was like a cultural food center. So to explain like the layout of this place, right? It fit in like the whole entire block. So all around it was road and there was like four corners to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in the building, it was like a straight line, like a straight hallway. And on the sides of the hallways, there was like different restaurants, like Asian, Mexican food, Ethiopian. American food, some European stuff. You know what I mean? It was like there was something octopus right next to like American burgers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like it was pretty cool, and it was absolutely jam packed with people. And in the middle is like the food eating area, and then there was an elevator that was in like tucked into one of the corners in one of the hallways.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the elevator, there was three floors, right? So there was that main floor, and then you'd go down one more floor, and then there was like, I guess I didn't really look much down there, but there was like clothing shops and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And then below that, there was a bathroom, and all of this is really important to the story. My group, right? The whole entire rule of the trip was to stay with your group that you were assigned.
Yeah.
Right? We get in there, right? And I'm like, I didn't see any food I was wanting yet, and I was like, hey, I'm going to go off on my own and just get my food and then meet with them later, right? So I get the food, and then I try to call my, like, group, and I couldn't get a hold of them, so I sit with, like, my other friends that were in a different group, and then I eat my hot dog, and then I'm like, okay, I need to use the restroom now. So I threw my food away, and then I went to the elevator, and this guy accompanied me in the elevator. And he was wearing a tight pink, like, golf shirt. Like, really, like, tight cargo pants.
Yeah.
And he just, and, like, really zesty shoes and a bald head, right? This dude looked pretty zesty. And we get to the second floor, right? He's looking at his phone. He's, like, glued to his phone, right?
Yeah.
And we get to the second floor, and I get out because I'm like, oh, is this the bathroom? You know what I mean? So I walk out, and he walks out, right? I'm like, oh, shoot, this is not my stop. You know what I mean? So I get back in the elevator, and then right before the elevator closes, he comes back and gets in the elevator.
Yeah.
Right? This is where it starts to get weird, right? Then we get to the next floor, right? The one that's the actual bathroom.
Yeah.
And this bathroom is disgusting. There was, I'm pretty sure, a dead rat on the floor.
Oh, it's
pretty
gross. Gas station bathroom?
It was basically a gas station bathroom looking, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I go to take a whiz at, like, one of the urinals, and this guy was, like, leaning up against the wall right behind me, staring at his phone still. I'm like, okay, this is kind of weird. I'm like, oh, shoot, okay, I think this guy's might, like, want my booty or something. I don't know what he wants. So I don't even, like, wash my hands. I just get to the elevator, I press the button, I lean up against the wall waiting for the elevator, because I'm, like, kind of creeped out.
Yeah.
And this guy gets like about 2 inches away from me, like shoulder to shoulder basically, and leans up against the wall and stares at his phone still. And I'm like, and there was a left and right escape basically that was just like staircases all the way up to like the top floor,
yeah,
to the outside. And I turned right and then basically sped walk to that, and he started like running. He did a full run. And then I turned left to the, like, main front door, like, the side door. And then he turned the other way and was still staring at his phone. And I got back with my group. I never told anyone about it. And the day, like, over in that area went, like, as usual, you know what I mean? I got, like, a Boston, like, beanie and, like, some souvenirs of Boston, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And then just as we were about to leave and the group was huddling back up again, I caught, there was about 5 of these dudes, bald, with beards, the tight, like, golf shirts, cargo pants, and then the zesty shoes. It was like an outfit.
Yeah.
And they were all huddled together looking at their phones. And then I looked around again, and there was one on every single corner of, like, the block, and like, of this building.
Yeah.
And then there was a van, a white van, with one of the dudes sitting inside of it, and then one of the dudes sitting on the edge of it, or, like, leaned up with it looking at his phone. So it was like a full organization of, like, I guess, like, taking children. Like,
wow, if they were like, harvesting out there.
Yeah, like,
they were harvesting.
Trafficking?
Yeah, human trafficking.
Yeah.
So I could have been taken. I might not be here right now.
Yeah.
I didn't tell any of my teachers about it. I was just like, oh my God.
Oh, so, like, part of the reason why he's looking at his phone was just texting, huh?
He was probably, what I thought was that he was probably looking at, like, the other members of, like, this group.
Probably all in a group chat, like, oh, I got one right here.
Yeah, like, taking pictures, you know what I mean? Like, doing, like, this thing where they, like, turn their phone a little bit to take a picture, you know what I mean? I think we're about out of time. So, thank you, Oscar. So, like, thank both of you.
Thank you
my
for
gosh.
Inviting us.
Yeah, this was
this
ton
is
of
sweet.
Fun.
We need to come back and do this sometime.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
So, this was part 3 of Spooky Scary Stories, basically part 3. So, yeah, I'll see you again.